Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Next English Podcast. For this episode, I have traveled 3 hours by train. Now I'm in Brno, in the second largest city in the Czech Republic, which is actually located in Moravia. It's a part of the Czech Republic. And I've come all the way here to meet a very special guest today. His name is Roman, he's a VIP guest. And I have known him for some time, but I actually never met him in person. So I'm glad finally I have this opportunity to meet him in person. Hello, Roman.
Hello, Zdeněk.
How are you?
I'm pretty nervous, actually.
Well, you don't have to be nervous. We know your English is good. That's why I addressed you as a VIP person. You're exactly the type of person we need on this podcast, because I think you have a lot to do with English language as such. So how does it feel? How do you feel about this, about doing this, about recording a podcast? Have you done this before?
No, I've never actually done this. And I don't know what to expect for myself, because I haven't been speaking English like for a very long time. It's been some time since I finished college. Actually, I didn't finish. I dropped out because of some health problems. So I'm really not in shape, so to speak, you know.
It seems like your English is pretty good. So I wonder how your English must have been a year ago. Anyway, in order to be in shape, like you say, you need to still be exposed to English. You are right, it's kind of sometimes hard, isn't
yeah.
it? When you live in a country like this, you need to have some English-speaking friends. And
yeah, I didn't have any English-speaking friends. Back then, like 2 or 3 years ago, I used to be immersed in English almost completely. I was a bit obsessed with English, to be honest, you know. I had no friends to speak of, so whenever I came home, I just immersed myself in studying. But I no longer do so, because I have a job to do and other things, so...
Okay, so what do you do? What's your job?
Yeah, I currently work as a farmhand. My father is a private farmer. And
oh, okay.
So I work as a farmhand.
Farmhand?
Yeah.
So what does it mean? Do you carry some... I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a dog's buddy. You may call me a dog's buddy. most of the time I just drive tractor.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you need to have some kind of special driving license?
Yeah,
for
I do have a driving license.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For a tractor.
Yeah, for a tractor.
So how far can a tractor go?
How far?
How fast can a tractor go?
about 40 kilometers per hour. But usually I go at 20 kilometers per hour.
But you don't drive along the roads. It's somewhere, you know.
Just when I need to get to the field, I use the road, regular road. But then I just go switch to the field mode, so to speak.
Nice. Okay, so I knew why to choose you as somebody to interview, because your idiomatic language is pretty nice. I mean, you have spoken.
Yeah.
For about 4 minutes, and there have already been some expressions which I'm not sure myself about. So very nice. Okay, so you're an interesting person for three reasons. I chose three talking points: because of your English, because you've always loved English, you've always been into it, into studying it.
Yeah, you may say so.
Yeah. The word you used, you immerse yourself into, or in?
In.
You immerse yourself.
I'm not sure myself right now.
But it's really interesting vocabulary there, so it means you really love it, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the second one is fishing.
Okay.
You're a passionate fisherman, if I can say it so.
Yeah, or angler or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And also you're a table tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A very amateurish one.
As long as you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's the main thing.
I can kind of relate to this feeling, because right now I'm an amateurish podcaster. So, but I'm enjoying it, and that's all this is about after all, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how did I convince you to come to speak on my podcast, actually?
Well,
how did I manage to convince you?
Well, as you said, we've known each other for some time, but we never actually met.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this might be an interesting opportunity to get to know you and to actually test myself, because, as I said, I haven't been, like, immersed in English for a long time, so I wanted to find out, well, how much rusty I have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that I've gotten very rusty.
Well, I don't think so. I can't really compare it, because I didn't know you a year ago, but I like your English so far. It's good enough for the podcast, so I believe even the listeners are enjoying it. So I'm glad you're here. And you're here from Brno, or...?
No, I actually come from Šachvice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tiny village, about 30 kilometers from Brno.
Mm-hmm. So you came here by train, just like me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How was your journey?
Well, it was a regular one, nothing special.
Nothing special about it. Okay, so let's start with your English. When did you start learning English? Why?
Well, I attended a grammar school in Hustopeče, which is a smallish town about 7 kilometers from where I live. And I had a very charismatic teacher, Mr. Hanák, if I may name him.
Of course you may name him. He is probably listening now, so you can only make him happy and proud.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think he knows about your podcast. But
Well, he would be surprised. Okay,
but I may say
let's assume he isn't. You will probably be right, yeah.
So anyway, he was a very charismatic teacher back then, and he was also very demanding.
You mean like a strict teacher?
Yeah, he had very high standards. And like he made me fall in love with the language by the way he taught it.
Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing, I think, as a teacher, to be charismatic, to really have some kind of influence on your students. To be able to motivate them.
Yeah, you're a teacher yourself, so you should
know.
Yes,
I know. For me, this is the most important thing. We all have some weaknesses and strengths, mm-hmm, as teachers. You know, it's something you cannot not have. It's something we all have. Yeah. But anyway, so you fell in love with the language,
mm-hmm,
and then you started immersing yourself in it, as you say.
It's a really nice word.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think I will start using it myself. From now on, you can expect it in every single episode, I think. Immerse yourself in it. Right, and so what did you start doing for your own English? You started self-studying, right?
Yeah, but it actually had a lot to do with my illness. I have Crohn's disease, and when I was diagnosed with it, I became isolated from my friends, because I had to take medicines, I had some severe side effects, and I was sort of ashamed of going into the public, mm-hmm, so I was forced to stay in my home, and I had nothing to do, so I thought of studying. So I started studying English. And also, I wanted to get better at school,
mm-hmm,
and I wanted to impress my teacher.
That's a very, very impressive story, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So...
I had never been an arslicker, you know, but I just wanted to. I just wanted.
What did you say there? Can you repeat it for the listeners?
An arslicker. Arslicker.
I know a similar word, actually. Brown noser.
I don't know that one.
To brown nose, you know, something similar.
Or to kowtow to somebody.
Or to creep. We also say to creep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it looks like we're both kind of word nerds.
Hmm. But I know about you that you are kind of an idiom freak. I know you from this website, helpforenglish.cz.
Yeah.
And I know whenever you made some kind of comments there, it was always relating some idioms, idiomatic expressions, and you always knew what you were talking about. Yeah.
Maybe so, I just seemed like I knew what I was talking about.
Well, I think you have already proven it here after recording 8 minutes or so. So I think it's really cool to have you here, because you can maybe even teach us some new idioms. Right? Are you ready to do that? Well, it can come naturally. You don't have to do it forcefully.
Well, actually, now all your listeners can hear that I'm kind of stuttering. Stuttering or stammering.
Yeah.
Because I'm sober, and that's the best.
Come on, you are not stuttering. I am here for this. This is my job.
That's the worst thing about me.
Role division here.
Because when I'm sober, I just become so nervous that I cannot express myself. So I wanted to so get a little bit tipsy to be able to express myself.
Yeah, sometimes.
So I wanted to get some Dutch courage.
I totally understand you. I sometimes do this too.
But so yeah, that's
I don't think it's necessary in this case.
Really. That's actually the idiom I wanted to teach you, to get some Dutch courage.
Mm-hmm. That's like a nice one, to get some Dutch courage.
Yeah.
And there is a word to go. So get some Dutch courage means
to get drunk, to be able
to be more confident, to be able to
in social situations and
to be more comfortable socially.
Yeah.
And there is another idiom with Dutch actually, to go Dutch. You know this one?
Yeah, it has to do with paying. Like you pay for yourself.
If you go Dutch, it means you don't want to pay for.
You pay for yourself.
Yeah. It may be you are on a date with a girl,
for example,
and you're expected to pay for her. I mean, to be a real gentleman, you would do that.
Yeah.
But when you go Dutch, it means you're a bit mean, yeah. And you don't pay for the girl.
Yeah, it's not a very gentleman-like thing to do.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. You're a bit stingy, aren't you? Yeah. Okay, so. Could you give us some tips how you actually learn the idioms? Because it's one of the hardest things to learn in a language. Certainly for me, I always struggle. I mean, passively, I know a lot of idioms.
Yeah.
But to be able to produce these expressions myself, it's always hard. It's always hard because it just doesn't come when I need it.
Yeah.
It's there somewhere, back in my mind, but it just, you know.
Well, it just needs time and practice, you know, and you may also use certain mnemonics to help you remember.
Do you use them? Do you use mnemonics?
Well, I probably did use them at the beginning of my studies, but then I just got so used to learning idioms that I didn't need them anymore.
And did you, when you practiced, did you practice actively? Like, did you actually speak to somebody, or did you speak to yourself, maybe?
Yeah, when I used to, or when I was taking a bath, I used to speak to myself regularly. Yeah.
Okay, so next time you take a bath, I think I will sneak in the recorder, and maybe we'll have some nice podcast episode, you know. All right. Okay, and I also know for a short time, or maybe you still are, working as an interpreter?
No, I never worked as an interpreter.
Or translator.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a translator.
Yeah.
An amateurish translator, yeah.
Because I know you had this website.
And yeah, I have a blog.
You had a blog, and it was dedicated to...
To translations, yeah.
To translations, and you had some poems there. Which you translated, right?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a poetic soul, and I was always interested in poetry. And when I started becoming immersed in translating, I immediately knew that what I wanted to translate was poetry.
Okay, so you say you love poetry. Do you actually compose some poems yourself?
Well, I did try it a few times, but whenever I wrote something, I reread it, and then I became embarrassed by what I did. So it wasn't very good.
You beat yourself up over it. You were too self-critical. Did you actually give it to anyone to read it, or did you just read it yourself?
Well, usually I just wrote it for myself.
Sometimes you need someone else to kind of look at it, you know, to be.
Yeah, I send it to girls I wanted to impress, for example. But it never worked. It seems that nowadays girls aren't really into poetry.
I think this is old school, you know.
Yeah.
I think there must be some girls. I mean, some girls who are into this. You know,
but
it's very romantic and all that. But
apparently, I don't know any.
But definitely, the girls have changed too over the last few years. I think they have become a bit hard-skinned, I would say. This doesn't work, I think, so much as it used to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my listeners know that I wrote a poem myself. It was called "A Poem to Sand Girl," and it was also meant to impress a girl, and I don't think it worked. But I have some experience with this too, and it is hard to write a good poem actually, because it has to rhyme, it has to have some maybe story, or if not story, it has to convey your feelings somehow, and there has to be a rhythm as well.
Yeah, that's what I struggle with,
which is
rhythm
art.
Or these like theoretical things. I usually write what I feel and how I feel it, and it doesn't really fit into any category. It's not very...
Well, it's like lyric or poetry. I think it's fine, as long as it rhymes and there is a rhythm.
Yeah, it does rhyme, but not according to any structure. It's just amateurish writing.
Well, it's a romance structure.
Yeah.
It can be a new one. You get it patented and you never know what can...
Yeah.
What can be the end product of this. Maybe you could give us some tips how to translate idioms or interpret idioms. I mean, it's always like, for me, it's always a hard nut to crack.
Mm.
I try to translate literally sometimes, but it's impossible, of course.
Yeah, it's
so I know, because I have enough experience to know that this is impossible.
Mm.
So you have to know some idioms, but sometimes you just don't. So what can you do?
I think the important thing is to translate or to convey the sense of the idiom. You don't necessarily need to translate an idiom with another idiom.
Mm.
Sometimes if you do so, the meaning gets lost in the translation.
Exactly.
So it's most important to focus on the sense, on the meaning, and to convey the meaning.
And I mean, for beginners, for elementary learners, not so advanced learners, it's really advisable not to do this at all. I mean, just to stick with some easy vocabulary they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And just avoid idioms completely. But once you're comfortable about some idioms, it's really... great feeling if you actually produce one, like, isn't it? Like, if you say something idiomatic, it's like you feel like you have conquered the world or something.
yeah.
First time you say, like, wow, did I actually manage to say it?
Yeah, it's nice to like listen to yourself and hear your speech being like colorful and interesting to listen to.
Mm.
I hate it when people speak when their speech is like plain and dull and things like that.
Well, unfortunately, I think each of us, like non-native speakers, we all have to go through this kind of phase, period, that is a bit dull and boring and not so interesting, but, you know.
Some people use idioms or
step by step.
Figurative language just to show off. Some people just do it naturally. Mm-hmm. I try to do it naturally. I did try to show off like my language abilities when I was, for example, taking like international exams. But when I speak like one to one, person to person, I try to like speak naturally as it comes.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a show off. I mean, that was something that could help you to get some extra points in the exam, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I knew what expressions would work to impress the panel and which wouldn't, so I deliberately chose the words which I knew would get me some brownie points.
So you had really good strategy there for this exam.
I did have, yeah.
So what exam are we talking about? Which exams have you taken?
FCE, CAE and CPE.
You've passed the CPE?
Yeah.
Cool. When was this?
It was I don't remember, like maybe 2 years ago. And I actually passed with or at a grade A.
Oh my god! Wow.
So my English.
This is my dream, you know, to take this exam one day. But I haven't plucked up enough courage so far to do this.
Yeah, but when you listen to me now, you can actually tell how much my English has deteriorated, because
I can't,
now
so I didn't.
Well, now I know that I wouldn't be able to pass with at a grade A, definitely not. I probably would be able to pass at C, let's say, but definitely not at A.
So how did you prepare for this exam? I mean, how much exposure to English did you have? Did you speak a lot?
Actually, I never practiced speaking. That's the
how
interesting thing.
So how do you do this?
I just try to learn as much vocabulary as I possibly could, and then I just use.
You need to get the confidence of speaking somehow. You need to get into practice. I mean, for me, it's always a struggle, even being as a teacher, you know. It's always a struggle.
Well, it's always been a struggle for me when I was forced to speak to a non-native speaker. But whenever I was speaking to a native speaker, it's strange, but I never felt nervous, you know.
It was more natural for you.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because I was showing off what I actually learned.
Hmm.
And when I was speaking to like a Czech person, for example, to you, I I tend to get nervous. I think of the mistakes I keep making, and it's like...
Well, tell me about it. I make a lot of mistakes on the podcast and I have to edit it. It's a horrible feeling. But this is, you know, this is maybe one of the reasons I do this, because I believe that ultimately this can help me somehow, you know. It's one of the reasons I do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so what about this fishing stuff? It's really interesting to have this as a hobby, have this as an interest.
Well,
for me, like, I'm not a patient person, so I couldn't do this really.
Yeah, I'm the most impatient person I know, so I'm not cut out for it either. But it was something that my father brought me to when I was very young. At a tender age, I started fishing, and I like fell in love with it because I was watching my father, and he wasn't idle for me back then, and whatever he was doing, I wanted to do too. So he brought me to fishing, and I started fishing.
So tell me, like, now this will, I'm an amateur, but how long does it take on average to catch a fish, actually? How long does it take on average?
Well,
can you even ask this question?
It depends on the technique you use. If you do like coarse fishing.
So what is coarse fishing?
It's a method of fishing which is, it's actually competitive fishing. And like if I do this, I'm able to catch a fish like within seconds. It's not a very big fish, but it is a fish, all right. But usually, like, fishermen who just do fishing like for a hobby, it takes them, like, it's a matter of hours for them to catch a fish. It may be a bigger one.
So I know you even take part in some kind of competitions, right?
Yeah.
And so you want to take this to a high level, of course.
Yeah, I like to do coarse fishing, like, not professionally, but I like to become a competitor and to like take part in miscellaneous, like, higher level competitions.
So what are the other fishermen like? What kind of people are they? I imagine, I always picture them as being patient and, I don't know, what's the word?
I think you cannot put fishermen into a pigeonhole. I think... Why are you laughing?
Yeah, it's a good expression.
Yeah, I think it always depends on an individual. Some fishermen I know are these, like, patient, as you said, as you imagine them. Some are very impatient, like myself. Some are, like, somewhere in between. Like,
so if you can't catch a fish for a long time, how does it show, like, your impatience?
Just become frustrated and
become
you go home.
Become frustrated and start shouting, or because you are supposed to be quiet while fishing, right?
Yeah, I don't start shouting. I usually become depressed and go home.
Okay.
But luckily, it doesn't happen very often. I usually, when I go fishing, I do catch a fish, one or two.
Well, definitely you're not feeling like fish out of water now here recording the podcast, and I'm glad.
Well, it's better now, but at the beginning it was terrible.
It feels like you're shooting some idioms at me, and it's hard for me to cope with everything there, so I'll have to listen back to this and edit it too. Could you maybe teach us some vocabulary? Maybe you could tell the listeners what you actually need when you go fishing. So it's an outdoor activity, right?
Yeah.
And you need some equipment for this.
Yeah, so the most important thing you need is the rod. It's like the pole you use for catching the fish. Then you need a reel. It's like the machine or the device that you use for bringing the fish closer to you.
What do you call it? Is rotated or spinning?
No. Spin probably. Mm-hmm. And you need hook, line,
yeah.
Sink or float. There are many things you need. Mm-hmm. Depends on the technique or on the method you choose.
And what about the bait?
The bait. There are miscellaneous kinds of baits. Again, it depends on what fish you want to catch. If you want to catch smaller fish but at a quicker pace, you need very soft bait. Like very inconspicuous. If you want to catch like bigger fish, you need bigger baits.
Of course. So do you sometimes actually dig out some worms?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what else to ask you. So have you ever won any competitions? Have you ever?
Yeah, I did, but it's nothing to write home about. It's like these local competitions. Sometimes the competition is not very high, or not very good. So everyone with like mediocre knowledge of what the fish may or may not like would probably do well in these competitions.
Great. So let's move on to another topic, and that is table tennis.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a table tennis player. It's very interesting for me because I'm a sportsman myself. So how long have you played table tennis, or we may call it even ping pong, right?
Yeah. But actually, these are two different sports, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to
really?
Be very, yeah, if you want to be meticulous
specific,
about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I do play table tennis.
All right. So could you tell us the difference? I've never known there was any difference at all.
Well, the difference is in the material. If you play table tennis, you use like rubbers. Like these are the coverings. The racket coverings are rubbery.
Okay.
If you play ping pong, the coverings are pimpled. They're not soft. And also, there's difference in the strokes you may or may or you are. Able to produce.
Allowed to play. Or able to produce.
Able to produce, yeah. For example, when you play table tennis, the focus is on the spin. You try to play loops, to spin the ball high and to produce these strokes. When you play ping pong, you are not able to produce spinning shots because the material just doesn't allow you to play these shots.
Hmm.
So that's the difference.
So, which, now I'm a little bit confused, but you explained very nicely, but I'm still a little bit confused. So which one of these two sports is actually the Olympic sport, or the more renowned one?
Yeah, it's table tennis.
Table tennis.
Yeah.
That's the one with the rubber...
With the rubbery coverings.
With the rubbery coverings, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you still need the little ball, yeah? That is, what is it
yeah,
called?
Yeah, the ball is the same. It's a 40 millimeter ball, celluloid ball.
Mm-hmm.
However, this year is a kind of a landmark in table tennis because the ball is about to change. It's no longer going to be celluloid.
It's no longer going to be round.
Yeah, it's still going to be round.
Still going to be round.
But the material is going to change.
Hmm. So what are you going to make it?
It's going
from?
To plastic. It's going
plastic.
To, yeah, it's going to be called poly ball. I don't know where this expression comes from. Maybe it's a material, poly or whatever, I don't know. So yeah.
Hmm.
It's going to make the game slower and more spectator friendly.
Okay.
Well, that's the intention.
So the matches will actually take longer.
Yeah, and the rallies will take longer.
The rallies will take longer. So what is a rally? It's one point, like when you
it's like one point
yeah. We can say so we know rallies from not only from table tennis and ping pong but also from tennis, right?
Yeah, that's the same thing.
So you're also some kind of club member?
Yeah, I play in our village in Čakvice. However, in the next season, in the following season, I'm going to transfer to Hodonín, to Sokol Hodonín.
What do you mean transfer?
Yeah. I'm going to change clubs, basically.
Yes, and like whose idea is this? Did you want to do it, or did someone offer you some contract?
Yeah, it was my idea, and I was offered a contract. Mm. It's going to be like a higher league.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called a league in our neck of the woods, but it's basically a league higher than what I used to know.
You are an ambitious person, aren't you? You are up for this challenge.
Yeah, I'm very competitive.
Yeah, you must be, you know, because you compete in fishing, you're a table tennis player, you want to learn the most idioms in the world, and what else? Well, there is one more thing, actually. I remember your status, your Facebook status, because you are among my Facebook friends.
Yeah.
Which you posted about a month ago, and this status was saying that you actually took part in a game show on TV called AZ Quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you tell us more about this?
Yeah. Well, you're right. I took part in this
So it's like a general knowledge quiz, actually, right? It's about your general knowledge.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with English, fishing, or table tennis.
No,
it's very, general knowledge
very
quiz.
Very general, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't do very well, actually. I did well in the casting, so I was asked to, like, come to the shooting, mm-hmm.
to the studio.
To the studio, yeah. But I didn't get through to the next round.
But it's still very courageous thing to do. I mean, you know.
I think it was just for the hell of it. I had nothing to do, so I said why not? So
yeah.
I went for it.
So did you feel nervous when you were there? Like, you knew the cameras were pointed at you. And
yeah, I felt a bit jumpy, but. Not as jumpy as I feel now.
You got over it.
Yeah, I did.
great. okay, I don't know what else we could talk about. I'm afraid somebody sent me a message. Maybe we can talk 15 more minutes if you want, but we have to work out what I need.
You want to talk about?
I just
girls?
Need to send a message. Yeah. You want to talk about girls?
Not that I want to, but there's definitely a topic.
We can kind of try to hook you up, maybe.
Yeah, can you do so?
Yeah, well, we can try, because, I mean, maybe someone will be willing to have such boyfriend, because, you know, they would definitely learn English very well.
So it's turning into a lonely heart.
I don't
like
think...
Like, who wants to date Roman?
Well, unfortunately, I'm a man, and so I'm out. But I'm sure there must be some girls who would.
If there's anyone among your listeners who would be interested in, like, online dating me, just let me know.
Yeah, you could even online date in English. You know, some of the listeners are, from my point of view, foreigners, but it's stupid to say it this way. The listeners come from all over the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me, I just have to answer this. So you're suggesting the topic of girls.
Yeah.
Yeah? Why girls?
Because
you want me to hook you up, yeah?
Yeah.
In your relationship status on Facebook says single.
Yeah.
Is it true?
I'm eternally single, yeah. I don't think I will ever...
Eternally single?
Yeah. I don't
oh
think,
my god.
I don't think I will ever find myself a girlfriend.
Why not? You think they would freak out when you told them some English idioms?
No, but I just don't know how to impress them, how to speak to them, how to make them feel comfortable. Yeah.
Have you ever tried speaking English to someone? Have you ever... try picking up girls in English?
I actually thought of that. Like, I wanted to come to Brno, say, and...
Do you feel more comfortable speaking English than speaking Czech?
There was a time when I definitely felt more comfortable in English. Now I'm not sure.
This is something you can do very well. I think you should capitalize on this. Do you know that there are even some kind of meetings, like blind dates? It's called speed dating. Have you heard of speed dating?
Yeah, I did.
I've done it actually myself once.
Yeah.
I've done it, I've tried it. It's a bit stressful though. But I think some of these speed dating meetings are... I'm sorry, it's my phone. Some of these speed dating meetings are in English.
Like even in Brno, for example.
Brno is the second largest city. It must be.
Yeah.
I'm convinced of this. So I think you should go for this, because... Come on. When you have a date, I think it's about feeling comfortable, confident, and it's just about being yourself, like being natural. And by being natural, you can impress. But when you like feel, you know, like tense or something, then it doesn't work.
Well, I don't feel natural in my own skin. That's the problem. I do feel natural when I get drunk, when I turn my brain off, and when I just. Then I do become myself, but it's not a permanent solution. You cannot be drunk all the time.
I just can't believe it that there wouldn't be a girl for you. Like, come on, you can catch fish. That's very important, right? When you have some
fishing,
kind of house
home.
Well, it's not about loving fishing. It's about bringing some meat home, isn't it?
Yeah, like bringing home the bacon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you're a hunter. I could call you a hunter.
Yeah, that's manly, masculine.
That's you know. Well, it's nowadays it's more appreciated than writing poems. So not only you can be romantic and write poems, you can catch fish. So you are a hunter. Then you are a sportsman as well. So you kind of keep yourself in a shape because you do ping pong or table tennis.
Table tennis.
I'm sorry. And then you can speak English so well. So you can even teach the girl. You can be her teacher.
Hmm. I'm not sure about my looks. That's probably the issue.
You look normal. You look like a man.
Yeah, I have two arms, two legs. I'm a man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think the look is normal. I'm not someone who can actually evaluate this, really, because I'm a man myself, but I can't see any problems there. So it must be something inside your head, probably.
Yeah, definitely. So my head is a big issue, and not just when it comes to girls.
Yeah, so can you elaborate on that? What do you mean? Not only when it comes
to
girls.
I tend to overthink things.
You tend to what, excuse me?
To overthink things. I always have doubts about pretty much everything I do or tend to do.
I hope you won't have any doubts and regrets after recording this episode.
Well, I definitely won't have any regrets. I'm glad I was able to meet you and to actually to test my English. Although, yeah, I know it wouldn't be as good as it used to be, but I hope it's fine. I hope your listeners will maybe learn something from what I said.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
I'm just really sorry that this is all you do for your English now. It's like you're really wasting your talent, in my opinion. I think most of the listeners will agree with me on this.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you, you said you're a farmer's hand.
A farm hand.
Farm hand. Come on, you can teach English. You can translate, you can interpret. You can do more than this.
I think I need to, like, come to a stage when I realize what I want to do with my life. Right now, I'm at a crossroads. I don't know what to do with my life.
I just want to rebound.
Yeah, I just want to be... The most important thing I want to be is to be healthy, to be, like happy.
Happy,
like, generally
healthy.
Happy,
That's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing myself, but at the end of the day, you just have to do what makes you happy. And I think most people, being successful and doing something that you are good at, it's making you proud, isn't it? So
yeah.
I think you should stick to something you are good at, and definitely is English.
Like I don't need to hear that. I don't need to be like successful. I don't need to have a lot of money to be happy. I just need to feel like internally satisfied with myself. I need to do something.
Accepted. You need to feel accepted. Maybe.
Yeah, I need to do something fulfilling. And
yeah. It's very important to do something satisfying or fulfilling.
Yeah.
Definitely is. So, let's go back to this hooking up thing.
Okay.
So, what else can you tell us about yourself? Like, maybe you could describe your ideal partner.
Well, I'm not sure if I have an ideal partner. When I meet a girl, I need...
It's a girl. Okay, it's something you should start with. It's a girl.
Okay, yeah, it's a girl I'm looking for.
A human. Human girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Breathing, like...
Healthy.
Human, yeah. Human.
Two eyes.
Two eyes.
Okay.
I don't know. The girl should be a bit sporty. Like, she should support me in what I do. Like, she should be into not necessarily table tennis, but into sports. She should be pleasant to talk to. Mm-hmm. She should be witty. Like we would need to have something in common. Like always a topic to talk about. I'm not that much into looks. Although I have to say that I am a bit superficial when it comes to girls, but it's not all that matters to me.
I think it's generally probably men, you know. Like, for men it's more important, the appearance. It's sometimes hard to say it, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
For men it's more important this than for women, maybe. Women are more often intelligent and sense of humor and also status, like society status.
Yeah, but girls tend to say that I'm arrogant, so I probably come across as arrogant to girls.
Do you do?
Well, I don't
know. That's what they tell you?
That's what they tell me, yeah.
Well, it's hard to say because obviously you're a different person when you speak Czech and you're a little bit different when you speak English, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, that's why maybe, that's another reason why maybe you should try and impress a girl in English.
Mm.
Maybe, have you ever tried, have you ever gone for a foreign girl?
Well,
has it always been a Czech one?
I did have one, like, fling with a girl and she was French.
Fling? What is it, like, one?
Like a very...
Flirt or...?
Yeah, flirt.
Something more serious.
Very quick romantic relationship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she was French, but it was just a one-day thing.
Did she tell you you were arrogant?
No, she didn't, because she wasn't able to express herself.
Oh, my God. So she couldn't speak English at all?
Yeah, so we did other things than talking.
Okay. That's also good sometimes. You know? Keeps you busy.
Yeah.
Happy to?
Yeah, I did think of, like, I wanted to find myself, like, in, for example, an English girl. It would be good for my English. And
yeah, we all want to do this. But
no.
This is hard.
Yeah.
This is hard, I think. Because you need to have something that you actually give her. You know, like there has to be something that, you know what I'm trying to say, some value you give her.
Yeah, so she's
giving you the value of teaching you English for free. What are you giving back to her? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It's always hard, like, for foreigners to hang out with native speakers. I don't know. Mm. Especially for men, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, because the native speakers they go after beauty often. Now it's a little bit stereotypical thinking now, but I've just seen this many times.
Mm.
You know,
but it would be a good experience too.
Mm.
Even if it wouldn't work out, just for a while it would be a good experience.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I think maybe you could try the speed dating, because that's where foreigners meet, you know. I also think you could work for a language school somewhere, maybe, with native speakers present.
Well, I did work at a language school for a while.
You
but
you worked as a teacher?
Yeah, but there were no native speakers, so I...
Hmm. You were the only native... So-called native speaker there.
No, but it wasn't a very, like, good experience. And then I found out that I'm not really cut out for teaching. So I don't think I would be a very good teacher, because I may know the language, but I don't have any, like, pedagogical things in
background
me.
Background knowledge or something like that.
I don't know the
well,
theory.
This can be learned on the go, you know, like by practicing. It can be learned.
Mm.
As long as you have the attitude and as long as you are willing to work with people, and you really need to be patient for this too, you know, like sometimes it takes longer to your students to answer, or they keep making the same mistakes or something, so you have to.
What I see as a big drawback as far as teaching is concerned is that when you teach somebody whose English is not as good, you need to, like, modify your own English.
You need to simplify
your English.
I hate this myself. I hate doing this, you know, really. But in order to be a good teacher, you have to do this.
Yeah, definitely.
You have to do this.
And you need to then compensate for it in order for your English
to
stay at the same level.
Exactly. That's right. That's why I always feel like I'm gaining more from teaching high-level students, like upper-intermediate students, and I am so definitely getting more from this.
Mm. Sometimes they teach you something back, because one can never know everything.
Most importantly, I can speak at my best.
Yeah.
Yeah? I don't have to look for some easier words to explain myself. They just usually understand what I'm saying, or they kind of get it from the context or something. Okay, it was pleasure meeting you, Roman. Thanks very much for enriching this episode of the podcast. I think you did very well, and you can be proud of your English skills, and you should definitely do something more with this.
I will definitely think about it.
It looks like you're wasting your talent. Not speaking on the podcast, no, I didn't mean that, but working as a farmhand.
But even a farmhand can afford to read Shakespeare in English.
Of course. It actually sounds like an amazing story, like a success story from zero to hero. Sounds like an American movie story.
I even tried translating Shakespeare, but
you did?
The result wasn't very good.
Yeah. So which play did you translate?
I focused on the sonnets.
On the sonnets, so
yeah.
the poetry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the most famous one? Shall I compare thee to a summer day?
Yeah.
That's the one you tried?
Yeah, 116.
Okay. All right. Okay, well done. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you would like to say? A last word of this episode?
Last word. Well, I'm glad you asked me to participate in your podcast. And
it's really a pleasure.
I hope your listeners will enjoy it or have enjoyed it. And maybe we'll do some other, we'll record some other podcasts in the future.
I'll be honored to have you on the podcast in the future.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.